Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my.
We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle. Hey, why are you playing football?
Coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Welcome back, Steelers Nation and football fans alike, to the Black and Gold NFL Recap. My name is Matt Searles. I am joined, as always, by Fred and Sabo. What's going on, Fred?
Hey, Matt. Oh, indeed, it's been a while. I think the last time we got together, the Steelers looked like they might possibly get into the Super Bowl, and now we're in second place behind the Ratbirds, and we went from like hurricane season to cold season for somebody. But it's all good. We had great games this past week, so doing well. Sabo, how about you?
It was a bad week for me. On Friday, November 11th, my favorite actor died. I don't know if you were, when we were talking, Robert Vaughn, who played Napoleon Solo, the Man from U.N.C.L.E., passed away at 83.
Hmm.
When I was a little kid, that was my favorite show. I didn't like James Bond. My dad liked James Bond. And just to be opposite of him, I liked Napoleon Solo, the Man from U.N.C.L.E. I liked Robert Vaughn because I said, he's an American. He's the American equivalent of James Bond. And I thought England was a second world country. We were the leaders of the world. So how can James Bond be saving the world? It's got to be Napoleon Solo. So that was a bad day for me. And the other thing, me and little Massimo and Silvio, Massimo's a pretty good quarterback. He's going to be going to Central. He can throw a rope about 25 yards. And Silvio's the younger one. He's real fast. So we were playing touch football out in our street, and it was fourth down, and it was going to be the end of the game. So I can't pass anymore because of my arm. I got the rotary cuff, so I got to go out for passes. So this Musk can really throw a rope out there. He threw 25 yards, so I'm running down to win the game, you know, and guess what I did?
You stepped out of bounds.
Yep, ran out of bounds. Touchdown, didn't try to pitch it back to Sylvia or anything. I just ran out of bounds, kept on running.
So you pulled
Matt,
an
you
AD.
Feel?
All right, guys. Well, that it has been a while for sure. Last time we were talking, Steelers were doing well. Now, not so much, but in case I'm sure listeners can hear, I'm a tad bit under the weather, so I'm going to be hanging back a little bit this episode so y'all don't have to listen to me as much and can listen to the healthy voices of Fred and Sabo a little bit more.
I'm sick, too.
Off like we, well, healthier voices, I'm sorry. So starting off like we normally do, wanted to talk a little bit about the last Steelers game, of course, against the Cowboys, which you just kind of alluded to, Sabo, on that last play, what Brown did, just kind of run out of bounds, don't pitch it, don't really give it a chance, get your stats, run out of bounds. All in all, I mean, this was a game I was telling my friends beforehand, like, if they don't win this game, I'm kind of withdrawing a bit of, you know, for the year. I'm not keeping my hopes up. I'm just going to kind of – I like my Steelers, but my expectations will be lowered. And that's kind of where I'm at now. I don't know if you all are in the same place. But now, what are your thoughts on this game, and really your thoughts on the team as a whole at this point in the season, as they're, you know, about halfway through their games? Let's give you a look, Red.
I was hopeful going in. I expected that the Steelers would be able to score. Dallas' defense had played well up to that point, but when you look at it on a per-play basis, they're okay. And they were helped tremendously by the fact that Dallas just, you know, runs the ball. They lead the league in time of possession. So I figured we should be able to score. And it would come down to can we – I thought going in Zeke. He was going to get his yards, but if we can limit him to just not running roughshod over us, and in my mind, I had figured, you know, maybe if we hold him around 80, 85 yards, we'd be okay and we'd have a good chance to win. And if you look, I went back after the game, and, you know, he ended up running for 114 yards. But if you – the last two times he touched the ball – the one he ran a 14-yard touchdown in that gave him the lead before we came down and retook the lead. And then they passed, and the last run he had was a 32-yarder. So you take out those last two runs, which they count, but if you're looking at how the flow of the game went, he had 19 carries for 68 yards before those last two, which to me means, if you look at it, he didn't have any double-digit runs before those two. Even though he was gaining yards, he was not controlling the game. They were keeping him at least in check. I mean, even before that last run, he had 82 yards right in the range. I thought we had to keep him to have a chance to win. And then he ripped out the 32-yarder because the Steelers were trying to sell out up the middle and they just popped it. But so actually, as much as I was disappointed that they lost, right after the game, after a day or two of looking at them, I'm like, you know what, they – except for a few stinking plays, they played with one of the best teams in the league right now, and they had a chance to win the game. And I felt somewhat optimistic. What brought me down, like you said, you're kind of down, when I heard the Cam's out for the year. That brought me down more than losing to the Cowboys. Because I thought, you know what, we hung right in there. I knew Ben against the Ravens had to get that. That's what I was saying before. Play Ben against the Ravens. Why? Because his first game back, he sucks. So if you wait to play, you can still potentially beat the Ravens with Ben sucking because they have no offense. So play him, let him get that game out of the way. We're going to need him to play well and score against the Cowboys. So he did. Ben played fantastic against the Cowboys. So I thought, all right, he's got that out of the way. So, but I thought they did all right. We gave some stupid big plays. But they actually didn't do a horrible job against the run. The Cowboys are averaging like 180 yards a game. We held, if you want to say, Zeke to 114. Like I said, he got most of that in the last two. So I honestly felt okay, and we got our off. Ben came back and played well. He played awful against the Ravens, which, you know, I mean, it was bad. So I felt okay. We'll see. Our run defense is going to be tested. It's been tested. It's not been great, good at all without Cam. But our saving grace is our division, you know, if we go, we're 5-2, 9-7 has a really good chance to win that division, especially figuring the Ravens and Bengals have to play each other twice, and we play both of them. So I don't know. But I still think the team, all the rest of the games are one of the hardest ones. Or you never know what's going to happen, but I don't feel as bad after I watched the film again and saw how they did. It was just a few plays. The one thing I will say is, and we saw it on Bell's touchdown run, which is first touchdown run of the year, on that run they had Rosie Nixon, and Rosie threw a key block, and Bell cut off his block. I think I was surprised to look that the Steelers are only averaging 90 yards a game on the ground. They're like 25th or 26th. I think I'm not necessarily a ground and pound type guy, even though I like that. I think we got to see more in Knicks, and they did well running the ball last night, and get a little more physical
and get the run game going. So they have it there. I'm down, but maybe not as down as you, especially for this division. It's definitely still winnable. What about you, Sable?
You know what I was thinking too? Maybe Franco should have ran out of bounds too.
Going he did. Down.
Everyone was around him too. He had nowhere to go. That guy almost tackled him. Was that Warren on the sideline? Maybe he should have ran out of bounds. Just like, you know what I'm getting upset about, Brown? I don't want to say Antonio's a diva or something, but someone's lying to us. Antonio said they never told him that he shouldn't have ran out of bounds. He said, what did you want me to do? Well, that's exactly what you did. You gave up. As far as you could, he had who was out there. Freddie, you watch the tapes more than I do. Jesse James is out there blocking him, which is, you know, a funny word for have him as your lead blocker and everything. Everyone's on the other side. Three other players
right.
are on the side. We have a three-man pass rush against the Steelers right then. Guess who's in blocking? Le'Veon Bell with a three-man pass rush coming in.
Yeah.
Bell as blocking back there instead of having him go out there. Ben's hustling downfield. What did he say? What did you want me to do, throw it over my head? Well, yeah, give it a shot.
Give
it you a want
shot.
Me to do the ball? Well, you know you can't kick the ball. Maybe he didn't know that and everything like that. But do something. Don't run out of bounds. And he just didn't run out of bounds. He really ran out of bounds. I thought he was
yeah.
going to go up in the stands and give him the ball or something like that. I mean, he was deep out of bounds
yeah.
and everything. What freaked me out, Dallas is a very good team. We would be talking if Ben's throw, what was it, 42 seconds left, his fake spike that he hits Antonio,
yeah.
we would be talking about that as the greatest play of this year. And maybe not in the NFL, pretty close to being the greatest play in the NFL, if not positively the greatest Steeler play and everything like that.
Yeah.
So did Ben give them too much time? Maybe he should have taken some more time. But we'd be talking about that as one of the greatest plays. And then we wake up and we find out that our run defense is so terrible. Now we don't have our best run defender in Hayward. That's what bummed me out and everything like that. I think that's what hurt me more than anything and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We played Dallas pretty well. We should have won, but we didn't and everything like that. The run right up the middle. And then I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to ask both of you, do you think they let them score that one time?
Oh, on that one time,
yeah. The play right before.
First, yeah, right when they got the lead, and then we went
yeah.
down and retook it.
When
I first saw it, yeah, because it was right around 2 minutes there, and we had a timeout, so if you figure they could milk the clock and run and you know, then they kick a last-second field goal or something. When I first saw the play, it ran through my mind, but I don't think so, especially from the 14-yard line. If it was on the one, maybe, you know, closer. And I guess though I didn't see who the players were, but I saw somebody wrote, I'm not sure who it was, one of the guys from Penn Life, that they talked to several players, and they said, no, we didn't let them score. It was just one, you know.
Well,
just didn't
times it looked like they just let them go in there because they were playing tag football, I think, and no one touched them. I don't think
nobody
either
touched
way.
Them, yeah.
No one touched.
They certainly didn't let them score on that, on the last one. You know, that was crazy. You know, you wouldn't even, there'd be no point in letting them score. I know on the first one.
One
think,
right.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I don't think so. It's not like you remember the Broncos and Packers Super Bowl when.
Mm-hmm.
When the Packers did let them score, because they were on like the 2 yard line, and they wanted to get the ball back quick. I don't think so. Here's the thing, though. It's interesting. Our run defense is at the point it's not good enough that we can't decipher. If this is the 2008 Steelers, nobody would make that run unless they let them do it. So you know for sure that they let them score, because nobody was going to run the ball that well unless they did. So, you know, it's possible that they were just that bad on that play that nobody touched them. Yeah, I really don't think they did, because I think even with – we had our timeouts, and if they run it three times, we stop them, you know, and all they get is a field goal. But all we need is a field goal, and we'd still have enough time with Ben. But and it's funny what you said as far as letting them score too quickly. As soon as they made that play to AB, that I saw how much time is left, and I thought, oh, man, there's too much time. But I still think when you need – if all you need is a field goal, you try to let the clock run down. When you need a touchdown, you're never guaranteed getting a touchdown. So you take it when it's there, and you have to, you know, trust your defense. I know Ben said if you saw the him relaying and Todd Haley relaying that, you know, Ben's running up, and he's going to – you know, he's acting like he's going to spike it. And he said, Todd Haley said in the headset, don't waste a down. So Ben said, I knew what that meant. And he said it was because they asked why he did it. He said, the defense, we had them on their heels. So it was the perfect time for it. Because you think the defense, and Ben's saying, clock it, clock it, clock it. So if you watch the whole play, the offense, everybody sold it perfectly. Nobody moved on the offensive line. Bell didn't move. Nobody moved on defense. The safety stood there. The only guy that moved was the guy that was covering me because he was lined up right on him. He had to run with him.
Bell didn't even know that they were.
Yeah, they just stood there.
He
I mean,
was looking.
Ben just everybody thought it was clocking. And then Ben said, he goes, I just said clock, clock, clock. So everybody thinks I clocked it because I just looked over to AB and gave him a little thing that, okay, here we go. So they knew. They were the only two that knew. And, yeah,
that was a
so
Danny
right.
Marino type play.
It was a Marino, and you're right. That would have been if they had won that. You're right. We had that taken away from us. They ruined it because that would have been the play of the year. Not only, you know, to win the game, to beat Dallas, to have the best record, and and potentially could have been the game that kind of, you know, propelled us forward. So yeah, and then you know this. Just, well, you know, like I said, we played them well. If it weren't for losing Cam, I would be a lot more encouraged. But like
are
said,
you?
The last seven,
I gotta ask. Are you? When you say you're still like you still got hope and stuff because they're in the division. I guess we've been spoiled as Steelers fans and everything. We haven't had that many. At least me, because I'm still relatively, young. I didn't experience the big drought, in the 80s and 90s and everything. So for me, they've been in the Super Bowl, at least every, few years. I was born in 94.
Right.
I really became a fan in, 2003. So close 2004. They were in 2005. They were in 2008. They were in 2011. So for me, it hasn't really been that long. So for me, it's really Super Bowl or nothing when I say I feel good about this team. So
they haven't had a losing season since Tomlin's been in. And the only way we're going to get in is we have to win our division, the North, and everything. Because
yeah,
there's
right.
no other way. I cannot see us getting a wild card.
No.
So we're going to have to win our division. We're going to have to beat Baltimore this Thursday.
Yeah.
We're going to have to beat Cincinnati. I think maybe the big game might be coming up Christmas when we play, is it Baltimore
yeah,
again?
Baltimore.
Hey,
yeah, that's going
to
be a big
one. That sounds like that would be a great game to be at Heinz Field for. Oh, you know what? I'm going to be there.
See you.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, me, Christina, and Nicole – I don't know if some of them, I have four tickets. I'm not quite sure who the fourth one might be. But when I found out I could get into that game, and asked my daughter, I said, hey, I know it's Christmas. She goes, oh, no better way to celebrate Christmas than watching the Steelers beat the Ratbirds. So I said, okay, sounds good to me. So
does she have
yeah.
a boyfriend?
Mm-hmm. On and off.
That's
good.
Put her over the top.
Well, they've been friends since high school. Sometimes they are. I said, doesn't matter to me. Whatever you do, as long as you call the shots. As long as it's her, as long as it's her, if she's the one making the decision on the relationship, I'm good with it.
I'm going to give the phone number out. We haven't done it in a while. I know Matt's not feeling too good. It's 347-850-8581. And how you feeling, buddy? Any better? Or?
I'm all right. But before the show, I did, went to the locker room, got my fluids and everything like that. So I'm hanging in there. The real kicker is after this, I got a 12-hour shift at work. So
what?
I'm rallying. I'm ready to go. So moving forward. Oh, you didn't answer my question though, Fred or Sabo. Is this a super team?
Is this a team that can make it to the Super Bowl?
This is a team that can win the Super Bowl.
Is that what you're saying? Okay. Right now I have serious doubts. I never say never because things might start gelling. I'm just reminded of the 2011 Giants that finished 9-7 and gave up more points than they allowed, and they got hot at the right time. I'd say no right now, but with Ben and those guys, I just get in the playoffs and we'll see what happens. So, what about you, Sable?
Are you done, Freddie? Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Indianapolis Colts, when they won it, didn't they have a bad defense too?
They did.
They had a bad defense too. So that's the last two bad defenses that won the Super Bowl and everything. I'm not even positive we have a Super Bowl offense.
You're probably right.
Everyone being hurt and everything. We're close to a Super Bowl offense, but now that Wheaton is on IR and everything, looks like number two stepping up is Eli Rogers will probably be number two. But I don't think our defense is good enough to get us to the Super Bowl, and I doubt very much our defense will win the Super Bowl. Now, you might say Sean Davis is going to start. Maybe he'll make it better. Artie Burns is getting better with every game and everything. But what I'm happiest of? New England trading Jamie Collins. I think that's really going to hurt their defense. So there is a possibility if we get in, like all Steeler fans say, hey, we're the team you don't want to meet in the playoffs. Well, I don't know if that's true now. If they don't get more than 30 points, I think the defense might give up more than 30 points. I can't see them winning the Super Bowl without Hayward. I can't even see them getting in the Super Bowl. Because right now, what do you have? You got Tuitt. They're going to be double and triple team blocking him now and everything. They're going to try to take him out. And who's going to be your other? Freddie, you were doing weren't you doing a film about the one time it looked like, and I'm not positive, but they had three defensive backs, five linebackers. Wait, I'm trying to add this up real quick. Three defensive backs, six linebackers, and two defensive linemen. Wait, is that 11?
They didn't do what they – are you talking in a just like a regular or when –
sub package.
When Hayward came up. No, what they have been doing
– I saw.
When in short yardage, what they went with, which I mentioned a couple of Sean Davis on the film with him, the Steelers went with a three down linemen, five linebackers, and three safeties.
Three safeties, five linemen. Who were the three defensive linemen? I know Tuitt was one.
Tuitt, depending on Hargrave, and the one time that was they did it several times. The one time I believe it was I saw Ricardo Matthews in there, and I think the one time it might have been Hargreaves. It might have been McCullers, but I liked that they went with the three safeties. Again, this was short yardage. Dallas had one wide receiver, so they had the two safeties, Golden and Mitchell, and they lined Sean Davis up over the receiver, but I like the play they ran. They just, Sean Davis, as soon as the ball was snapped, he didn't even look at the receiver. He made a beeline towards the line of scrimmage, and on the third and one play where they stopped Zeke in the fourth quarter, that's what he did. That's he came flying in from the side and made the play. So I like them switching up. But one thing they did against the Ravens, which they used maybe about 10, 11 plays, and I think they used it more against Dallas. They didn't count. They used more three defensive linemen because instead of their nickel is they have the two down linemen and the two linebackers as defensive ends. What they did against the Ravens more was three defensive linemen, and what they did was put the two on the one side and the third and the linebacker up on the line of scrimmage. And those three linebackers back, they basically, they ran a 4-3.
Yeah.
With three defensive linemen and a one linebacker, Jarvis, basically playing a stand-up defensive end and three linebackers. It was, if you look at it, you wouldn't be able to even tell the difference between that and a 4-3. And the thing I liked about doing that is when they do that, Simmons is a middle linebacker. Shazier plays a weak side linebacker. And a weak side linebacker in a 4-3, his job is just run to the ball.
Yeah.
So that's perfect for Shazier. So
they are
changing things up and mixing things. It's not always working because they got injuries. Sometimes guys just can't see, but they're changing. Butler is changing things up. So
he has to.
Yeah.
I thought it was Samarco instead of Golden. I tried to look at it. I tried to look at the tapes, and it really looked like Samarco. But you watched the tape.
He did play. Shamarco was in there for a little bit in some of those. You're right. And then he got hurt. Shamarco got hurt again. He hurt his groin. So
but
he,
I was
you're
saying
right.
Early, yeah, when he hurt him. Then they went with Golden towards the end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I knew you'd come up with it for me.
All right,
I tried to
look at the
thing. Then I listened to the game after the radio broadcast on Monday or whatever. Whatever day I can listen to it, because they have that on Steeler Nation Radio or whatever. So I try to listen to that.
Right.
I mean, we got a Matador defense now, the Steeler.
Olay.
Yeah.
All right, Matt.
Olay. But,
yeah, as we move on, one final point I've got that I wanted to stick in there, which is really my reason for this team just doesn't have it this year. We're, you know, again, 1 year away, you know, maybe, is the fact that when teams are going to run it, and we sitting on our couches know that they're going to run it, and the Steelers know they're going to run it, and, you know, my girlfriend who doesn't watch football knows they're going to run it, and then they run it, and the Steelers can't stop them. We saw this, and they're ripping off huge play. I mean, we saw this in the Dolphins game when they have to make a stop to get the ball back. And then Ajayi rips off, a 50-yard run? And then it happened twice in the Cowboys game. You have to stop him, and then he scores the touchdown. Okay, you know, we score, they get the ball back. They're going to run it. They're in field goal territory. They're going to run it. You have to stop them. It was like a 30-yard touchdown on the ground. Like, it's just infuriating as a fan to watch. You know what they're going to do, and you just can't stop it. So that, for me, is a big heartbreaking moment. Because like you guys were saying, this would never happen on the 2008 Steelers, but that's not this team anymore, sadly. So we'll see. We'll see if they can turn it around. But for me,
I'm not saying this is a trade-off at all, losing Hayward. But I think the run defense is going to be a lot better because Jarvis Jones is going to be starting. So if Harrison
You mean not starting?
Yeah. Jarvis Jones is not going to be starting. So I think that's going to help our run defense. I don't know how many percentage of snaps Harrison can do. But I'll tell you who should have been on the field the last two series should have been Harrison and not Jarvis Jones. The Jarvis Jones experiment is over. He's not going to be back next year. Neither is Marcus Wheaton. Don't play him anymore unless someone gets hurt. Dupree's coming back. Have you guys seen Bud Dupree, what he looks like now?
Yeah.
He was in range, 265, 260s. He looked like he lost a lot of weight. Picture of him the other day. And he looked like he slimmed down like Chickalo did. Chickalo's on one side, Harrison, and I think Dupree's going to be your swing guy at outside linebacker. I'm thinking your linebackers are better now. I don't know what happened to Vince Williams on this team. Timmons, to me, just looks a step slow. He still can make the tackles, but that's what you do. You try to flow the running back into Timmons. Why not give – you're not stopping the run now. Go back to Vince Williams, or at least give Vince Williams 50%, one series with Vince, one series with Timmons or something like that. Do something, because now that you don't have Hayward, I mean, you're going to have Sean Davis, and I thought Golden was a fairly good tackler back there.
He is.
Mike Mitchell, I don't even want to talk about. Maybe the move is to put Golden over at Mitchell's position, everything. Willie Gay, they gave up on. He got beat a couple times in the slot. But really, he's your best run-stopping cornerback.
Yes.
And everything. So he's relegated to your slot guy. I know you play. What do you think, Freddie? 67%. You're playing third. You're playing three cornerbacks on the team now and everything.
Nickel, yes.
You're not stopping the run. Why isn't Gay in there? That's when they started to lose it, I think, and giving up these splash plays is when Gay. I mean, you're going to have to go with Artie Burns. Artie Burns is your future. Sean Davis is your future. But you come back, you're going to have to make some changes. Hargraves was getting blown off the ball somewhat. McCullers, here's what I do. Put McCullers in and just let him fall horizontally. Okay? Fall. He's going to take up from hash mark to hash mark. I like to see Elliott try to jump over him. When he jumps over him, Shazier should have creamed him and everything. Just put him in there and let him fall down and then try to get up a little bit to make it a little bit high that you got to leap over him like Jesse James tried to leap over that going down the sideline and everything. I mean, he's useless. Just have him fall and fall on the center, the two guards. Maybe he'll take out another tackle and maybe the other tackle. Let him trip over him or something like that.
We can nickname him Earthquake.
Earthquake McCullers and everything. Do something different with him. You know, he only gets in
So we do have to move on to the news. Spent a lot of time. We've had some time away, so it's all right to talk. Plenty of Steelers, as always. But this is the Black and Gold NFL recap, so we've got news to do as well. Starting off, we need a news-like soundbite, you know, something to come on, you know, like when we got breaking news that we so often have. but starting off, maybe one of the biggest stories of the week, there really wasn't that much news as I was typing everything up. Biggest one probably is, of course, the Gronk injury, Rob Gronkowski, tied in for the Patriots as a punctured lung and will miss this week for the Patriots. That, I know punctured lung, it sounds very bad, but they're saying he could potentially only miss, you know, a week or two. So Patriots are still going to have their, you know, their weapon, best tight end in the NFL going down their playoff stretch. And they've got Martellus Bennett hanging in there, a very, very capable tight end. for them as well. I'm blanking on Fred. Who are they playing this week? Oh, they're playing the Niners.
Yeah, that's
So this Gronk thing, if any, there's any game where you're going to miss one of your best players, it's definitely when you play the Niners, where you can feel okay about it and not too worried. Not good
Niners
for Steelers fans. Good for Patriots fans. Other news coming out, we've got, of course, on Thursday Night Football, Panthers playing the Saints. Luke Kuechly sustained a concussion and is now in the concussion protocol. The good thing is he's got a week and a half to, you know, recover and get out of that and hopefully play, you know, next week. But we will see. Other news, Seahawks released Christian Michael. What has been their starting running back for most of the season, has been playing well, nicknamed the Awakening. They released him. I haven't really seen a reason as to why. I know he had somewhat of a nagging hamstring injury, but the Packers picked him up, and he's been practicing for them. So I know the injury wasn't too bad, which leads you to think it could be other reasons. But he's on my fantasy team, so I'm hoping that, you know, Packers insert him right into that starting lineup, because my season needs to be safe. I'm not doing well in fantasy at all this year. Other last bit of, you know, NFL news before we cover the rest with the Steelers. Jared Goff, number one pick in the NFL draft, finally set to make his NFL debut. You know, they've been dragging out Case Keenum there for a while, a good while. Everyone's, you know, we know what Case Keenum is, and they've been calling for Goff, you know, in the media and the fans, long, long time. We finally get to see him. No idea what to expect at all. Last time we saw him was the preseason when he was making zero plays, really, a lot of plays for the other team. Now you try him out there against a Miami team, which really, since playing the Steelers, has kind of turned it around a little bit. They're by no means a great team or even a good team, but I'm not really sure that the Rams are either. So it's by no means a gimme for Jared Goff going out there. And that's really it for NFL news. I don't know if y'all want to touch on, or if you guys saw the Ray Lewis comments on Joe Flacco. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on that.
I saw the news headline and I read it. And quickly, a lot of Flacco's teammates came to his defense, talking about a game last year, if he was going to the locker room, where he fired everybody up. And they're saying that's just the way he is. That's just his personality. I think Ray Lewis, as much as I think he was a fantastic player, one of the best that I've seen in the last, you know, 15 years or so. Ray, he was on ESPN's Monday Night Show last year and they got rid of him. I think Ray needs to be in the spotlight. I think he misses it. Ray needs to sit there and preach. And you know what Ray does? And every single, doesn't matter what you ask him about in his analyst thing. What do you think about this team? Somewhere he was going to get it to be about, you know, it's how you're questioning him as a man. And you get Preacher Ray going. And you felt like you were in a gospel hour, Ray, and that's who Ray is. So he thinks everybody has to have the same fire and passion that he has. I think he needs to be heard and he needs to preach, and he ain't got nobody to preach to right now. So I don't make much of it. That is Flacco's personality. I don't think he's that good a quarterback, but I don't think that's just him. Joe Cool. I mean, he has the same, you never see him act any differently, whether he's playing well, which is not often, or whether he's playing bad. So I don't really make much of it. I just think it's funny that Ray needs to get his voice in the, and that's my take on it. Ray wants to be heard. Well, what do you think, Dave-O?
Ray, I don't know if he said it, if he'd say it to Flacco's face. I don't know if he ever said anything to him when he was playing with him. Now that he's not playing with him, Now he can say these things. He's become, you know, the Hines Ward of the Baltimore, because now that, you know, he's in the limelight and on radio and television, he can say anything he wants. I don't know. Did Ray Ray win a Super Bowl with Flacco as quarterback?
Yes, he did.
Okay. So I would say, hey, thanks a lot, Joe, for getting me a Super Bowl ring and everything like that. And saying he doesn't have the passion for the game. Well, maybe Ray Ray had too much passion for the game and everything. Maybe he had too much passion when he was out on New Year's one time, too. I don't think – I know he's not his teammate, but at one time he was his teammate. I know he's making a living and everything, but I think that's off base by him – you know, questioning his passion and everything. Whatever he thinks is, maybe call him on the phone and say, wouldn't this be nice, say that you're not passionate. Is that okay with you? Do you have anything, can you give me a comment about this? Instead of just saying it for, you know, like, who's that other guy? Sterling Sharp, Michael Irving. They all say this, Stephen A. Smith is that his name. They all say these things and everything, but when they were in the locker room, I wonder if Ray Ray did say something to Flacco about, you know, hey, you're going to lose me a Super Bowl ring or something like that, or you're not playing with any passion, you're not throwing the ball deep downfield and winning games for us and everything like that. Coming from Ray Ray Lewis doesn't mean nothing to me, that he thinks that Flacco doesn't have a passion for the game. Okay, Matt, I'm sorry. If I said anything positive, mean old man.
I don't know. You're not sounding as sickly as me, so that's positive. So you're doing well. but I agree with both y'all. And Ray Lewis, this is my fault for not covering it in the beginning. He basically said that, you know, Joe Flacco's not passionate, and he's a good quarterback, but he doesn't, you know if he enjoys being a quarterback and all that. And I agree with you. I think this is all just, you know, for lack of a better term, it's clickbait. It's Ray Lewis. He's in the media. It's his job to, you know, get people talking about something. He's just stirs this up. It's just stirring up drama. But I mean, I don't really know. As far as, you know, we all can agree on, Joe Flacco is nothing special. Whether or not he's passionate about it doesn't really concern us much at all. What concerns us is that, you know, he, for some reason, has the Steelers' number, even though he's not that good of a quarterback. So, at least recently, they have. So, hopefully that can change moving forward. Actually, the Steelers' news coming out this past week, you alluded to it earlier, say about Jarvis Jones demoted on the depth chart. Looks like they're going to move up Harrison. And then we also have Bud Dupree activated off the PUP list. So a whole changeup going on outside linebacker. I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know if either of you guys do, because we had Jarvis and Harrison on the right. We had Moats and Chicklo on the left. Then we got Dupree coming back, who's going to work in a rotation somewhere. You presume on the left, does that mean Chicklo's going to go to the right and back up Harrison or rotate with Harrison? Or I don't know if y'all have heard anything about how they're going to kind of set this up.
No, I haven't heard anything. And I don't know how much. I think maybe we'll find out more against the Colts. I'm just wondering, just a guess, with Bud, if they kind of, especially because this is, you know, the first he's going to be playing, and we have a short week following coming up on Thanksgiving, that maybe they, I think my guess would be they're going to kind of give him a very limited amount of snaps just to let him work in a little bit. You know, I'm sure they'll start whoever they're starting on the left side, whether it be Chicklo or whether it be Moat. I don't think it makes a, you know, big difference who's called the starter technically. They'll rotate him. And I think they'll work Bud in just a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if you only see maybe 15 snaps or that, just to let him get his feet wet. Maybe it'll be more. I mean, if you're gonna play, you know, Cleveland is the game to get your feet wet. But so I don't know that we'll see what their overall plan is until maybe the Colts game and moving forward. Which, right, there's five guys. Somebody's got to be the odd man out. And if it's Jarvis, I mean, obviously the demotion, if you want to call it that. I don't know. We'll see if the snap counts change, because they were still getting pretty close to the same amount. We'll see if it's more than just a semantics. You know, I mean, for a while Jarvis was making up against the Patriots. He had a good game, and he wasn't getting the sacks, but nobody was getting sacks. So he was actually playing. He had a forced fumble against the Patriots. So we'll see. I don't know. I just think with Bud, though, my guess would be we're not going to see a ton of them this first game. This kind of same kind of with Darius. But Darius got some plays last week, but they're working them in. So I think they'll we'll see more of Darius this week, and we'll see more of Bud maybe against the Colts on a short week. What do you think, Sable?
I think Harrison down the right side versus Joe Thomas. He just needs one more sack. Chickalo is going to stay on the left. I think Bud Dupree is going to flip-flop. And maybe we can move Jarvis Jones to defensive end, because he thinks he's a good run stopper too. Or wait, can Jarvis Jones go on the practice squad?
No.
He goes on the practice squad?
No.
I don't like him in them and everything. But Ladarius Green looked real good, too. He's 7 foot tall, and they run for a two-point conversion, and he can't out-jump a maybe 5'11", 6-foot cornerback and everything. He grabbed the ball, and I don't even think he could wrestle it off him and everything like that. So I think maybe he came back like one game too soon and everything. But I think they're going to need him. Because now that we only have four wide receivers, I think they're going to be playing him a lot.
Yeah.
And everything. And Jesse James is our wide receiver, too, and everything like that, you know. So I think both of them are going to be playing a lot. Because here's who we have. We're going to have – you think Coates is ready to be the number two guy. I think it's going to be Rodgers in the slot, Coates. Kobe Hamilton, who's really not played that bad, is going to be your fourth guy. And if they go with five, then it's going to be Green or Jesse James, if you go with five. But I wouldn't go with five, because then you're taking Bell out. And here's an interesting thing. We go for a two-point conversion towards the end of the game, and I'm looking there, and we don't have Bell in on that play. You have Fitzgerald Toussaint flashing in front of Jesse James when Ben did his, you know, throw it over his head.
Yeah.
And Toussaint, who probably never ran a pass pattern straight, you know, went after the ball diving and it hit off him and everything. Well, I know he didn't know Jesse James was behind him or everything, but I can't see. You only have so many two-point conversion plays and everything, and we actually have a two-point conversion play with Fitzgerald Toussaint, and unless Bell was hurt, that I knew nothing about. But they have a two-point conversion where Fitzgerald Toussaint is in. Oh, maybe that's why we moved Richardson up, so we can put him in and get the two-point conversions.
Yeah, that's it. The secret weapon.
Yeah, Carlos Williams don't come up because he's a better blocker and everything like that, but we put Richardson in because he can play special teams, and he can come in on that two-point conversion. Playing everything. I can't even remember what the question was. Oh, Harrison's going to start, play the right side. They're not going to flip him. Chickalo's going to play the left. He's playing good. He's getting some pressures. And then I think Dupree will be the swing guy and everything. Moats, he's so-so. Is he going to be your fourth guy now and everything? What do you think of putting Jarvis Jones at defensive line a little bit? No, he's not big enough, but
how many rushing yards do you want to give up, Sabo?
He's slow enough to play defensive end. Slow enough to be a slow nose tackle. I think Casey could beat him.
If being slow is all it took, there'd be a lot more candidates out there for the D-line. But
what's he running?
Yeah, that's
2, so he can 4.92s. That's a defensive lineman. That's a defensive end's time. That's not a linebacker.
Yeah, I think Jarvis is getting phased out now. Just a lot like Whedon. I mean, this is awful for Whedon. I know we touched on it a little bit, but contract year. I can't remember another guy falling off so much in a contract year. I mean, what he had a decent, not a stellar, but a decent, you know, wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 type of career, set to, you know, make, you know, upwards of $5 million a year in a wide receiver market as a free agent. And now, I mean, he could be signing a one-year deal somewhere on, like, a tryout contract. This is, and he got phased out of the Steelers' offense. He was a healthy scratch multiple times, and now he's on IR. This is and
the last play
Jones,
you remember him making this year. Wheaton.
Didn't he get a touchdown?
He caught a touchdown against the Chiefs where he might have been
right.
out of bounds, but they called him in and they stuck with the call on the field.
Yeah.
That's about it.
That's it? And his misses in the, what was that, New England game? Remember he missed that. The first game he came back, he had a couple drops and they didn't look at him again.
He did drop a few.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly forgettable this year by Wheaton.
Like, you guys remember the Muppets? And they used to have them two guys. They used to have two old guys. They sat in
the balcony.
The
balcony,
That's what the Steelers made me into. I'm the one old guy sitting up in the balcony.
In the balcony.
Just all this talent. Well, maybe it's coaching. No, I don't want to throw that out.
All right, guys, moving forward. Bit of good news for Steelers fans, not as it relates to the season, but as a whole, it was announced that Hines Ward and Alan Faneca are among the 26 Hall of Fame semifinalists. So there's a chance, it's a slim chance, but a chance we could see 2 Steelers inducted into the Hall of Fame this year, which would, of course, be fantastic. As long as the Steelers don't have to play in the Hall of Fame game, I am all for it. I think that would be great. And I know for me, I didn't get – I got a lot more time to watch Ward than I did Faneca, just being a younger fan. So, but I've seen a lot of film on him. I've talked to a lot of, you know, Steelers fans, of course, on Behind the Steel Curtain also. And I really – so I'm a little bummed I didn't get as much of an opportunity to see Faneca in his prime and watch him play for a longer time. But I did with Ward, and it was really just, you know, great as a fan to see him and his iconic smile, you know, and just have a guy like that to look forward to play each week. And if Faneca was, you know, any type of the player that Ward was, then, you know, I'm sure everyone feels the same way about him too. Any thoughts on that before we move on?
Just real quickly, I think as far as their chances of getting in, I think Faneca, like you may not, like I said, you know, now you didn't really get a chance to see him, but I think Faneca, honestly, might have a better chance. I know Ward was a bigger celebrity-type guy, and he won a Super Bowl MVP, and he was a great player. But there's a lot of wide receivers still waiting. When I look every year when I go over one, still waiting to get in. So he's got guys to wait behind. The guy Isaac Holt or Isaac Bruce from the Rams and Terrell Owens. If you know, there's a bunch. Did you? But Faneca, well respected. He won a Super Bowl.
So as far as, and I think between, it's hard. I mean, I love, if I were to say, well, at their position, who was a better player, I think I'd have to take Fanica. Not that I don't love Ward. I love Ward. And my older daughter, that was her favorite guy from the first because of his smile. And if there's one play, Fanica, this helps him. Notoriety helps you. Willie Parker's touchdown run in the Super Bowl, Fanica pulled and led the play through, and everybody and their brother knows that. That was Fanica popping through and popping Willie Parker. So that will help them. So Baltimore, I think, and I don't even know, maybe if they don't get this year, because it's hard to get in your first year in. This is Hines, you know, first time he made this far. Sometimes you gotta chip away. So I think if anything, Fanica, we'll come back and revisit this and see. But I think Fanica probably has the better chance. It's funny, if you look at Fanica now, he probably, you know, he probably weighed, looking at him, I don't know, guessing, you know, the 280, you know, 300 pounds, and now he looks like he weighs about 170 pounds.
Yeah.
What do you think, Shave?
Yeah, he runs in them triathlons and everything like that. Matt, can I ask you, you looked at the 26 semifinalists. Was Steve Hutchinson on it?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Well, here's what I'm saying. The two best guards of their time playing that decade is between Fanica and Steve Hutchinson. I think one of those two will get in. If Hutchinson's up, I think Fanica was better. When they drafted him, I had a television show, and I called him, I couldn't pronounce his, you know, I mess up names. I called him Panica, like pancake and everything like that. I think Panica will get in before Hines Ward. But I'm going to make one more statement about Hines Ward. I can tell you, if Hines Ward would have been in his prime, it would have been playing this last Sunday against Dallas, and Ben would have hit him down the sideline. I'm telling you, Hines Ward would have did everything he could to get in for the touchdown, and I'm telling you, Hines Ward would not have ran out of bounds. Hines Ward, he would have tossed it somewhere. So there's the difference between Hines Ward and AB and everything, and I'm still up in that balcony like one of them Muppets, them old guys. I'm just getting upset and everything like that. But I think Fanica will get in first, and then Hines Ward eventually. I think both of them will get
in. Yeah, I don't disagree with you on either of those points. All right, guys, moving onward to this week's game slate. Of course, we got Steelers and the Browns. Before we get into the game, I told y'all before the show I had a little bit of random trivia game I was going to play between you guys.
Before you even ask the question.
Can it? Yes, if it's the right one.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
It would be impressive. It would be
question,
impressive. But
I'm
going to
give you
me
the
obsolete.
Trivia. Okay. Ready?
All right. Right.
Sean Andrews.
No. No. Not even almost.
Okay.
Would have been impressive.
Okay.
Though. Would have been impressive.
Yeah. Would have been.
All right, guys.
All right. Table. You do not make it on Dion Warwick Psychic Friends Network. Okay.
If I would have hit that
All right, guys. So Steelers for the Browns this week. Ben was asked earlier this week if he could name every Browns quarterback that he has played against. And he responded with, you know, no chance. So he was able to list off, you know, four or five of them, saying that it felt like a different one every week. We can go back and forth between you guys. First one to not be able to name one loses. Let me count these up real quick. There are 13 in total that Browns quarterbacks that Ben has played against in his career. Start with Fred, then we'll go to Sabo. No pressure here at all, but this is for bragging rights, of course.
Okay.
Browns quarterbacks that Ben has played against.
All right, easy one here. I know from last year, Johnny Manziel.
Yep.
All right, and that was okay, Sabo, you're up next.
Tim Couch.
Tim Couch. I don't see Tim Couch on the list.
You're out already, Sabo.
You're out already, Sabo.
Kelly Holcomb.
Who?
Kelly Holcomb.
This is who Ben played against.
Yeah. He didn't give me
Porter.
Out, so I went with Kelly Holcomb.
Holcomb's not on the list either, man. You're 0 for 2.
Jeez.
I'll give you, just to keep the game interesting, I'll give you a strike 3 here.
Cleveland quarterback.
That Ben's played against. Only one out so far is Johnny Manziel.
Well, actually, no. I should be able to do this. Jeff Garcia.
Jeff Garcia is one. Fred.
Second game last year, was it? Josh McCown.
Yes.
Who was the? He was a kick returner too for them. Didn't he do the Wildcat? Cribs.
That's not a quarterback. He's not a quarterback. He's a running back.
No, he was. They put him in the Wildcat.
But I think he's talking. Listed as
starting
quarterback.
Starting quarterback.
Yep. All right.
Full
list. We got Derek Anderson, Charlie Fry, Colt McCoy, Brian Hoyer, Jeff Garcia, Jason Campbell, Johnny Manziel, Thaddeus Lewis, Seneca Wallace, Bruce Gronkowski, Brady Quinn, Austin Davis, Brandon Whedon. That's a lot of quarterbacks.
I was going to pull out, if it came down to him, we were going back and forth. Because I remember this one. I think it was 2013. We won the last game of the year to finish 8-8. And on the last two plays of the game, Lawrence Timmons blitzed the same blitz through the same hole and sacked the quarterback twice. And it was Thad Lewis. So I knew Thad
Lewis
was in there. Thaddeus Lewis. Yeah.
I should have guessed Gronkowski.
Or McCoy, just go off of their long list of early quarterbacks taken. But Ben can add another one to that list with Cody Kessler.
Kessler
Sunday. That's just a brutal.
How about
thing to
you
see.
How many did Ben get?
Ben got.
Could Ben
four,
name any?
I think he named. I guess this is from NFL.com. He named Gronkowski, McCown, McCoy, and they named RG3, but he hasn't played RG3 yet. So
right.
He got three.
Speaking of trivia with the Browns, I just saw this, if I remember correctly, I just saw it today. If Ben wins tomorrow, he will have 10 wins at the Browns, whatever
Browns.
It's called, First Energy Stadium. That would be more than any quarterback, including
a
Cleveland Brown quarterback.
I'm going to ask my wife, a Cleveland quarterback that Ben played against. Okay, go ahead, hon. One quarterback Ben played against, quarterback for Cleveland.
Brian Hoyer?
Brian Hoyer!
Correct.
Hey, you beat me.
Wow.
You beat me by one.
Wow.
Is she good? She must listen to me. Hear that or I talk in my sleep.
If you're talking about Brian Hoyer in your sleep, I don't know. I don't want to know what kind of dreams you're having, Steve.
No, because I said they should have never let him go.
I know you liked him.
All right, so because we did miss you a couple weeks, we are running a little short on time, so we're going to go through these games now. Maybe a little more of an up-tempo pace. Starting off, of course, with the Steelers and the Browns. I don't think any of us are expecting the Steelers to lose this game. If they do, I like Fred was saying earlier, then can start to question the coaching, you know, with a little bit more confidence and gusto. If they lose to the Browns, oh, man, I'm going to be brown bagging it. My face, you know, out in public from now on, it's going to be brutal. But I got the Steelers to win. I don't think it's going to be close. But at the same time, there's just that creep of doubt in my mind. First time facing Hugh Jackson as a head coach. Who knows what could happen? Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, I feel the same way. We talked a little bit about it before we came on the air. I think because it's supposed to be with this front coming through, it's supposed to be high winds there tomorrow, up to 30 miles per hour at times, and some rain / snow. I think that does, if anything, help to equalize things a little bit. If it weren't for that, if it was nice weather, I think Ben would torch him the way he has the last couple of times, and AB would be doing front flips and back flips in the end zone there. But as it is, I still think they're going to – they're too much. And I hope the wind in being windier forces the Steelers a little bit to run the ball more. They haven't done that much lately. But I still think, in my mind, somewhere – it might keep the score down a little bit, the weather, but somewhere in the 27 to 16 type range. As long as Terrell Pryor doesn't catch some long ones on Hardy, our defense, if that wasn't, should hold 27 to 16. That's what I got. What about you, Sabo?
What did Matt pick the score to be?
I don't think he picked the score.
I did not pick a score.
Okay, 21-11 Steelers. I hope Artie Burns doesn't pick up Pryor. I hope it is a Cockrell. But that Coleman's pretty good too. So I'm going with 21-11 Steelers.
I like it. And what a weapon Pryor has turned out to be. Of course, we saw what a weapon he could be as quarterback. In the run game, that game against Oakland, that none of us like to talk about. But, man, I was watching, I think NFL put some video on Facebook or something of him just, you know, on one knee catching these one-handed passes from the jugs machine. And they were coming out hard, and he was just snagging them. And come from, you know, a year or what, year and a half ago when he was talking and saying, you know, he just doesn't know how to catch a football. To where he is now is just a drastic change, and you got to credit him and the Browns coaching staff for that one. I mean, this guy has become, and I don't think any of us really will say that he's, you know, at his peak, that he's reached his potential at all. He's still learning the position, and this is a guy that, you know, I think we would all love to have on the Steelers as a receiver. He looks like something else out there. He looks good.
We got to give him one other credit, too. You know, for one week, he was he went to Jeanette High School a little bit outside the city, up in the suburbs there. And I think he had A.B. with him and Randy Moss for one week, and they were showing him how to be a wide receiver and everything. And he said that's what he learned the most, learning off those two and everything. So we got to give A.B. a little bit credit on that. And Randy Moss, both of them were out there. I don't know if they have the same agent or something like that, but both of them, I think it might be Drew Rosenhaus. I'm not positive, but that's how that one week, he said, turned it around for him when they were in that high school setting and he was out
catching. I didn't hear about that, but that, I mean, if you want two guys to show you how to be a receiver, I mean, Randy Moss and A.B., that's, I'd probably be pretty up there with my top two picks. That's
comes
a good
from a
group.
Guy that can't remember any of the Cleveland quarterbacks.
Right.
How good they were.
Right. Now we need to get Big Ben and like Kurt Warner out there to show Cody Kessler how to throw a ball. That would be good.
Yeah.
All right, guys, moving on. Steelers versus the Browns. We talked about that one. Moving on in the division, big one for the Steelers to keep an eye on, and I know all of us are going to keep an eye on, Baltimore taking on Dallas. We know what happened last week against Dallas. We know they haven't lost a game since their week 1 game you know, rookie quarterback starting out there, first game, you know, rookie running back. You can't really, you know, fault them that much. Since then, they've been on a roll. Taking on a Baltimore team, which first place in our division, but underwhelmingly so. Our division as a whole has been underwhelming. We need the Ravens to lose this game. Even if they lose this game, they still have the tiebreaker over the Steelers. So they're still technically first place in the division, which puts that Thursday Night Football Christmas game, which Fred will be at, way up there in, you know, importance. So Baltimore versus Dallas.
As much as the Ravens have an excellent defense, matter of fact, this is a great matchup when you go with, you know, like I said, the strength of one team against the strength of the other. Well, the number one rushing offense in the Cowboys against the number one rushing defense in the Ravens. And I do think the Ravens defense overall, their numbers are a little inflated by some of the teams they faced. They got to face the Steelers with Ben coming off an injury, which is always bad. They got to face the Bills the first week of the season, and they were not anywhere near the offense that they are now. They got to face the Browns twice. They faced some pretty paltry offenses. That said, they're a good defense, but I don't think they're as devastating, especially against the passes, as they are on paper. So, and Dak proved he's for real. The guy, one thing you look at, he did not waver at all. After he could have, the first series of the game, Chicago forced that strip. You know, so they recovered the fumble. They fall behind. We go right down and score. We were up 12-3. He didn't waver. When he didn't need a big play, we got pressure, and he hit Dez deep. So that was on the road. That was probably their toughest test so far. Coming as much as we weren't playing great still. And then they lead them back on the game-winning drive twice when we took the lead. So that shows that he can handle the pressure. They're going to be at home. And the Ravens' offense is pathetic. They're awful. They scored 28 points because they played the Browns before. They can't score anything. They couldn't run the ball. We shut down their running game. And we haven't been good. They ran for 50 yards on us on 29 carries. And 12 of it was on a Flacco scramble. So I just think Dallas is going to be too much at home. I mean, it could, you know, I certainly hope that would be the ultimate kick in the pants, is that we lose to Dallas at home the way we did, and then if the Ravens go into Dallas to beat them in a game we need them to lose. But I just don't see it. I think Flacco, whether he's passionate or not, doesn't matter. He's just not good. So I see Dallas winning probably, you know, home score. They might hold the score down a little bit, but, you know, somewhere in the maybe they'll hold to like 23 points, 23 to 14 or something like that. Dallas will win. What do you think, Sabo?
Like you said, Baltimore has a good defense. You might hate me for this, but I even like their coach. I think they have a good coach, but like you said, they have a good very bad offense. Okay. So I'm gonna. Baltimore has to lose so we can win the North Division and everything. So I'm gonna go with Dallas. I think Dallas and Seattle are the two best teams out there. Romo is gonna get in the game and do some mop up duty at the end of the game. So I'm going with Dallas to win to help us. So Baltimore, let's see. I know they still have be in first place and everything, but I'm gonna go with Baltimore losing just so we can win the division.
I like it. Picking Dallas also, I think that's likely. I think that's would be great for the Steelers, of course. Romo goes in there, you know, on mop-up duty and gets injured again. I don't think we ever see him in the league again. If he goes in there in, like, the fourth quarter with 3 minutes left and then breaks his collarbone, nothing else would be more Tony Romo than that. hope it doesn't happen, of course. I like Tony Romo as a person, but man, I think he's done as a franchise quarterback. All right, moving on. We got to fly through these ones because we're running out of time. Buffalo versus Cincy. Cincinnati team underwhelming. I think there's something like 3-5-1 right now, just off the top of my head. I don't know if that's right. Playing
right.
Buffalo, who's had a tough run recently, lost the past three, but that included playing the Patriots and then going into Seattle. So they're looking to turn it around now. And this is a close game. I'm going to let you all talk while I decide who I'm picking in this one.
Yeah, this you are right. I think it's really close. The Bills, to my surprise, I'll give Rex credit. I don't think he's a good coach, but when they were 0-2, they got rid of their offensive coordinator. They went with the guy who likes to run the ball. They changed the way they run. And so since that time, they're 4-3. And they got hosed a little bit in Seattle, or they could have – had a chance to win that one. They played Seattle right down to the wire, so they're playing a lot better. They are right up there. I think they're number two in rushing offense behind the Cowboys. And I think they're leading the league in sacks, which the Bengals are one of the worst teams allowing sacks. If you saw the end of the Giants game, the key drive at the end of the game, and the Red Rifle got smacked two plays in a row, sacked when they needed the most. So I think it could go one either way. I think the Bills can run the ball. If they don't fall behind, they're going to run the ball, and they're going to sack Dalton. The other thing the Bills can do, though, is Rex leaves his corners out there to go man-to-man, and if they don't get the sack, A.J. Green could go for 200 yards on them. Rex just rolls the dice and goes with it. So I think depending which way that matchup goes, with the pass rush getting the Dalton first, or the Bengals striking for big plays down the field, I think that'll probably be the difference. But I'd love to see the Bengals lose, but at home I'm going to go with them in a tight one. What do you say, Sable?
Okay, the Bills are 4-5. After this, they'll be 5-5. Just like you said, they're number one in sacks. Shady McCoy is going to good running back. He's going to get some good yardage and everything. They'll be playing the Steelers. But that's going to be at Buffalo and everything. So they'll be 5-5. Let's see, they got 5 losses. When they play the Steelers, let's hope they got 6 locks by that time. Cincinnati, just like Matt said, is 3-5-1. They'll be 3-6-1. Dalton's been sacked 28 times. That's like in the top 3 of the most sacks given up. They got leaky pass protection now. Fourth quarter issues. Going with my heart, I'm going to say the Bills are going to beat Cincinnati. Matt?
I'm with Sable on this one. I think Buffalo takes it. Really just because of that pass rush that they have, and that the Bengals are giving up all their sacks. I think that's the determining factor. I think the Bengals are the better team, but I just think Buffalo's strength matches up with Cincy's weakness just too well. All right. And
their pass rusher, Bill, is they got a rookie or first-year guy, second-year guy. I think he's pretty
Lawson?
Close. Yeah, from Buffalo. He's one of the best unknown. He's the most unknown pass rusher. I think he's leading the league in sacks and everything. I think he's got more than Von Miller. Very good pass rusher and everything. So I got to go with you on the pass rush, too.
I didn't even know that. All right, so we are coming toward the end of our show. Pardon?
I can't remember quarterbacks for Cleveland.
Oh. No worries. Maybe I'll have to give you all a heads up on the trivia next time. Let y'all do a little.
No, I don't want no heads up.
All right. All right, Fred, game of the week for you outside of the four we talked about. I'll let you roll with this one.
Outside of the
when we talked about, okay, let me just, I think I knew what I had. Let me just look real quick at the rest
pick
of the games here.
Pick.
That game of the week, there's not a lot of great ones this week like there were last week, but
Philadelphia-Seattle.
I was going to say that's probably what I go with. The only other one I could think that would be cool, I mean, the Raiders and Texans, not that the Texans or anything, but the Raiders playing well is good for the NFL, I think. So, but, yeah, I'll go with Eagles and Seahawks would be that. Then you want me to pick the game? Is that it? And if
yeah,
I pick that one.
I was going to let you do one, and let's say we do one, then we'll close it out.
Gotcha. Sable, if you want to do Eagles in Seattle, that way I don't have to.
No,
go
I want
again.
You. I want you to do that because you get in so much trouble doing Philadelphia.
Yeah, I knew that. I knew that's why. That's tough. Seattle showed me something last week. Going to New England and beating New England, and they gave them the recipe. When they played in the Super Bowl and Seattle couldn't score from the goal line, well they held the Patriots from scoring right near the end. When have you seen Brady not have a quarterback sneak work? He fumbled the ball. I don't know. That was weird. Something was going on. I think Belichick is going to start cheating again because Seattle showed New England as well as they're playing, and now they got rid of Jamie Collins, and now they're sitting Jabal Sheard. Something's not quite right there. They can be beat. I think Seattle showed they can beat them. Philadelphia is good. They're right there, but going into Seattle and Russell Wilson getting healthy and they're getting their running back, Rawls. That's why they got rid of Christian Michael, as you mentioned earlier. I have to pick the Seahawks. A battle of birds, just like last week, the Eagles played the Falcons, the battle of the birds. And I think this time the big seagull will come home to roost on top of the eagle. So I go with Seahawks. What do you got, Sable? Thanks for getting me in trouble, by the way.
Hey, that's okay. That's what I'm here for. But I don't know Cleveland quarterbacks. I think the best game is going to be the Houston-Oakland game. Houston 6-3, Oakland 7-2. Both of these teams are ahead of us. O'Brien, the head coach of Houston, passes on Derek Carr. Derek Carr is going to be upset at that. They got Khalil Mack. I don't know if Cooper's going to be playing. They're playing at Oakland.
They're playing in Mexico. They're playing in Mexico, Stable.
That's a Mexico game.
Yeah.
Okay, who likes Coronas better out of these two teams? Oakland.
It's got to be Oakland.
Yeah.
You don't think they have a bunch of Coronas flowing out in the black hole?
Yeah. So whoever drinks the water, if Houston drinks more water than Gatorade, I think Oakland. Mexico game. Oh, man. So I'm going to go with Oakland on this one. They'll be 8-2. Maybe I should go with Houston. Then they'll be 7-3. We ain't catching either one. Okay, I'm going to go with Oakland in Mexico just because Carr's mad at O'Brien for not drafting him. Khalil Mack is a monster, so I'm going to go with Oakland.
That is some of the best analysis I've ever heard. Whoever drinks the most Coronas is going to win. I love it. I'm with both of you on these. I'll take Seattle to win it. I'm going to get in trouble for that one, too. So I'll be also on my couch, Fred, and I'm going to take Oakland to win it. I don't know if Houston's taking or drinking more water, but they're definitely taking on more water. This is a team that is not as good as their record is. Osweiler, man, he's one of the biggest free agent busts in recent memory for me, just as for what the money is and what his performance has been. The team is carrying him. It's not the other way around. But with that, I think we're going to close it out before we get kicked off the air. Anyways, for taking up too much time, any last thoughts, guys, before we close it out?
Yeah, I'll just I have to give a shout out since James Harrison is going to be starting. You know, he got promoted, if you will, above Jarvis Jones. That's my mom's favorite player, James Harrison. So I got to give a shout-out to my mom because her guy is going to get his record sack for the Steelers this week. So there you go, Mom. That's you, Sabo.
I'd like to say my condolences to Robert Vaughn's family, his wife Linda, and his two kids, Caitlin and Cassidy. Like I told you in the beginning, Man from U.N.C.L.E. was my favorite TV series. He was my favorite actor. Napoleon Solo, the Man from U.N.C.L.E., was my favorite character. Clemente died, and now it's Robert Vaughn. That were the two, you know, besides my parents or something like that dying and everything. That was just my sister passing away. But it's an end of an era for me and everything. Guy Ritchie made that Man from U.N.C.L.E. movie. It was terrible. It wasn't my Napoleon Solo, like I told you guys. He worked for the CIA. Napoleon Solo never worked for the CIA, and he was a thief, and just everything was wrong about him. Even the character, actor to play him, Henry Cavill, whatever his name is, wasn't a good pick. I'd rather had Freddie's favorite actor, Bradley Cooper, play him, but I'm just, you know, I'm really sorry to the family that he passed away. He was 83, and he was the best actor. He was in The Magnificent Seven, too, if you remember that. Which was the best Western, in my opinion. So, it's a bad day.
Yeah, definitely all of our condolences to his family with that one. But, all right, guys, that will do it for this week of Black and Gold NFL Recap. Sorry for the absence. I was sick before, had a wedding to go to, then we had scheduling issues. Shout out to my cousin who got married, John, and his wife, Sierra. First one of my cousins or, you know, my siblings or anything to get married. Shout out to him and my cousin-in-law. I don't know what that makes her, but congratulations to them both. It's great to see them. Great wedding. That'll do it for this week of the Black and Gold NFL Recap. Hopefully next week I will not be sick. I'll have my smooth voice as usual, and we will talk to you all about a Steelers victory and then being tied for first place in the division. We'll see you all then. Signing off. Later, guys.
Hey, good night, how you got the mono when you were at the party, probably.